Is this live?
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are.
Are you ready?
Coming at ya! Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, another MMA podcast, and we're coming at you live and unedited from the AMP Radio studio in Danville, California. We're coming to the aftermath that was UFC Fight Night 147, Till versus Masvidal. Yeah. Let's hit it, Proteus, get into this, because it's also known as the Michael Bisping Night, as he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Yeah. You know what we haven't heard in a long time, Proteus?
What's up?
Yeah, that's what Dana thinks of all the judges and referees at UFC London. As Pam will get us into the tail of the tape. Let's hit it. Proteus, Jorge Masvidal defeats Darren Till. And I think Pam was the only one that got this one right.
I never said that.
Second round. KO, and I mean a KO. Not like a TKO, but like you got knocked the F out type of KO. Proteus, what say you?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Pam did get that 100% correct. So Pam had a good week. But, Darren Till, let's talk about that real quickly, because the word going around, Masvidal getting a great win, obviously being clouded by extracurricular activities that we might get into later, DJ Tony. But I just think this comes down to, as I mentioned on Thursday's Smack My Picks Up show, Darren Till is fighting at a weight class that he should not be fighting at. Gave Jorge, a great fight, maybe caught Jorge on sleeping a little bit in the first, but Jorge coming back,
getting
woken up by some of those.
Sleeping? Never mind. Go ahead.
I gotcha. Yeah. And maybe it was the fact that the fight got stopped, or the fight started in such a weird way because of a low blow by Jorge Masvidal on Darren Till. Who knows? But fights are fights, man. And you never know what's going to happen. But yeah, Jorge Masvidal getting the win in impressive fashion, like you said, KO second. Hit Darren Till with a great punch, hit him with an even better punch on the way down on the temple. Of course, Darren Till was already out on his feet before that second punch. The concussive effect of his head, Darren Till's head, hitting the canvas. And then, of course, Jorge coming down with another punch on the way down on the ground. Just added to it, man. And Darren Till was down for a while. So impressive win by Jorge Masvidal.
Jorge Masvidal obviously has lost a lot of decisions in his career. I mean, two straight losses to Maia and Thompson. I didn't think he looked good in any one of those. The split decision to Maia, I don't know. I mean, I thought Damian Maia, frankly, took pretty good control of that fight. But let's talk about Darren Till, because he has two straight losses. And this guy's a guy that likes to talk a lot, Proteus. He's not a shy guy. And his voice will crack and say, I swear to God, I'm not scared of anyone. He may not be, but he better work on a little bit on his defense, because he was submitted and clearly outclassed, in my opinion, by Tyron Woodley. By the way, in my defense, there was a Darren Woodson who played football. And, of course, he got KO'd by Jorge Masvidal. We're certainly not talking a Cody Garbrandt story here, Proteus. But like you said, weight concerns, weight cutting concerns. We do know that weight cutting, effectively, you're dehydrating yourself most of the time, if not all the time. And, of course, it also dehydrates the brain. What say you about, obviously you said that Till should move up. He originally said he was going to move up. Obviously, that's not the case. What happens to him now?
Well, look, DJ Tony, this guy, Darren Till, is only 24 years of age. As Jorge Masvidal said, as you we heard in the post-fight interview. And if you guys have not heard the amped version of those interviews, go back and listen to that, because DJ Tony did a great job putting together the amped version of the post-fight interviews in the cage. I wanted to talk quickly about Darren Till. Yeah, we talked about the weight issues. We also talked about the fact that he was carrying this card in London. You know, another case where you're putting too much, maybe putting too much on a guy. Maybe you're putting too much pressure on him. Maybe not. I'm not taking anything away from Jorge Masvidal. He came out looking in the best shape of his life, to be honest with you, DJ Tony. I really do think, though, that Darren Till, with the frame that he has and the striking prowess that he does have, he would be more suited or best suited moving up to 185s and not, you know, dehydrating himself so much. At this loss, I think DJ Tony and the plus minus of the who moves up, who moves down, I'm sure you're going to ask me that later. I think this looks not so great on Darren Till. That's right, the up-down report. And I think that Darren Till needs to move up and reap the rewards that at middleweight that we think that he could have. I mean, look at Bobby Knuckles, you know. Anyways, I digress. To you, DJ Tony.
You know, we've had a lot of success with people moving up recently, right? You talk about Bobby Knuckles, who was fighting in the welterweight division, and we thought he was a little undersized. It goes to show you what we know. To move up to the middleweight division. But looking right now at the middleweight division, remember when the middleweight division and light heavyweight divisions were some of the deepest divisions? That's no longer the case, in my opinion. But when you look at the middleweight division, you see Robert Whittaker unfortunately having surgery. What are we having now? Like you called it, right? Izzy and Kelvin fighting for the title. Yeah. That may not be a bad thing to have Darren Till move in there, because that is maybe not the deepest division right now.
Well, I think a lot of you know, the Chris Weidmans of the division and the Luke Rockholds of the division, I think, also need to think about a move up in weight class. And I think that if you look at the people who are cutting weight to make 170 pounds, and it's detrimental to them, if they move up a weight division and the guys who were big for 185 move up and it really allowed themselves, DJ Tony, to flourish and to not have to cut weight and bring on, you know, strength. And I think that that's the way that this sport needs to move into. Yeah, I mean, the whole I'm bigger than you situation seems to be evening out, because the fighters are just getting so much better across the board, no matter what weight division you're in. And I'm sure we'll get to the co-main event on this card as well quickly. But I just think that those things are more evened out now, because the fighters are just so much more talented. And if you take it to a jiu-jitsu kind of outlook, the smaller guy usually wins, because the bigger guy is relying on that strength value. And if he can't use that strength value, he loses to the smaller guy. And I think that's kind of what we need to do, Tony. And we've been saying that on this show for years, but, well, at least I have. That, you know, people need to stop cutting weight.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because just like what we've seen, the evolution of the NBA, going from the big man to the smaller guys, to the more mobile, positionless sort of roles, i.e., you know, the Golden State Warriors and many others, they're not the first to do this. I think we're going to see this as well in MMA if these fighters are, I don't want to say smart, but like you said, if they're deciding what's good for their health. Maybe having, like you were talking about, the Chris Weidmans, the Luke Rockholds. These are people that are 6'4", 6'5", that are fighting in the middleweight division. Maybe they do belong with the John Jones, right, in the light heavyweight division. Or maybe not to be blasphemous, but maybe a little heavier going into the heavyweight division, because that division, obviously, although younger now, certainly listen, not as deep as we thought it would be. Let's move up, Proteus, because I do want to tie this in with the next fight. Welterweight division heaven here at UFC London. Leon Rocky Edwards defeated our boy, everybody loves Gunnar Nelson. Split decision. I didn't see it as a split decision. Frankly, I was shocked by a lot of the decisions in this card. But let's get into it. Because it's not only the fight, never mind the fight, which was kind of lackluster, But the fight after the fight, Proteus, because when we saw the beautiful Laura Sanko interviewing Jorge Masvidal live on ESPN Plus, Jorge Masvidal claims he walked with his hands behind his back, and he really did for the first five steps. Then, of course, all hell broke out. What say you, bro?
Honestly, I don't know what Edwards was thinking. First of all, Gunnar Nelson had him mounted for the last minute of that fight. So Gunnar Nelson, again, showing his resiliency. I thought Gunnar, just to touch on this fight real quickly, I thought Gunnar kept his guard low as a karate stance kind of fighter would. His corner implored him to take that guard up and cover his face, and he just did not do that. Now, I thought that Leon Edwards, towards the end of the fight, especially in the third round, as Gunnar came back out with that busted orbital that you mentioned earlier on, and of course Leon Edwards delivered another shot, another elbow to Gunnar's face. I thought Leon Edwards looked really good for the first two rounds, and then I don't know, something happened. If we had two more rounds in this particular fight, Tony, I think that Gunnar Nelson would have turned the tide and found the way to win this one, even with that blown out orbital bone. Now, to touch on
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right on
so
that one.
Well.
I didn't even think about that one. You're right.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that we didn't see five rounds in this one because there, you know, Gunnar Nelson could go five. We know that. So let's touch on the extracurriculars, as you mentioned, live on ESPN Plus. Leon Edwards, I don't know what he was thinking, running his mouth after that win. I mean, that was not the most impressive win in the world. Yeah, he'd been calling for, or he called for the winner of that particular fight in his post-fight speech, or, you know, with Dan Hardy. But ending the fight in somebody's mount, like being mounted, it's not a great look. And then Jorge Masvidal, as you mentioned, he's from the streets. We talked about this before. You know, Jorge has an amateur record on the streets that is quite high. And as he mentioned, I believe in the interview with ESPN after that fact, mentioned, you know, if you come up and you raise your fist to this guy, he's going to throw back. Now, is it a good look? No, I don't appreciate it. I think Jorge Masvidal saying earlier on the week in the media week that he said, you know, all of this people running their mouths and so that kind of WWE style promotion that I've been talking about on this show is going to get somebody hurt real quick. And, you know, Jorge Masvidal, you know, did the 1-2-3 on Leon Edwards and cut him up. We know that he was cut. If you listen to what John Morgan said on his podcast afterwards, you know, Leon Edwards did receive a cut from those punches. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to Jorge Masvidal. I think if Conor McGregor can get away with throwing a dolly or a hand truck at a bus this and costing the UFC two or three fights on that card, I think that this one needs to be swept under the rug as well.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because right away when I saw Leon Rocky Edwards doing that thing and interrupting the interview, I was thinking, and this might be wrong, I was thinking about Aliyah Abdelaziz. Does he represent
right.
him? But he's not. He's represented by Paradigm Sports, which has a lot of huge fighters, including McGregor, et cetera. I'm pretty sure you're going to say, well, that explains it all. I'm pretty sure Paradigm Sports doesn't have anything to do with this, although I will say this. Top three fighters on their website, Tony Ferguson, Michael Bisping, Conor McGregor.
Like I said, this whole ESPN era and what we've seen even before ESPN, if you don't speak out, if you don't say something, you get passed over, and that's unfortunate for these guys.
There's got to be a way, Proteus, that this does not turn into the WWE. I mean, there's got to be a way because, listen, the WWE, for all their fans and everything they do, it's not for me, but it's for millions and millions of people. They know it's fake, right? It's an act. This is not an act, and these guys need to get something in control, so that's going to be a little odd. We're certainly not going to the up-down report, but let's go into what's next. Do you want to see Edwards versus Masvidal? Because I don't think it does anything at all for Masvidal. What's the next fight for Leon Edwards?
Well, I definitely don't think it's Jorge Masvidal. I mean, I think when you beat a guy like Darren Till that had been touted by the company and had been given an event to promote, you know, in his own home country, you got to give Jorge Masvidal the best guy that possible, because you do not want to miss the wave that is this Jorge Masvidal. I mean, he looked great. He looked in shape. He looked like a world beater. You know, maybe he had a slow first round, but that, you know, those punches that he was putting together, absorbing Darren Till's shots and coming back with his own, he's just tough as nails. And I think we need to see him at the top of the division. I don't want to see, you know, Conor McGregor again against Nurmi. So, you know, let's keep these divisions going. Let's keep them fresh. I mean, Nurmi's going to be out for a while. Maybe Jorge wants to take the summer off. Maybe we do this at the end of the year. You know, sounds good to me. But not Leon Edwards versus Jorge Masvidal. I don't think that moves the needle, like you just said. Maybe in the UK, where Leon Edwards is a little more popular, but up-down report, I mean, Leon Edwards didn't show me anything great at the end of that third round.
It's interesting that you say that, because Leon Rocky Edwards, who, of course, at least lives in England, he got booed.
Birmingham, yeah.
So Gunnar Nelson received a much larger ovation than the person that lives there.
Yeah, they didn't say that. They said that Gunnar was training mostly out of Iceland on the broadcast. So whether or not Kavanaugh had a lot to do with it is another thing we could look into.
Before we go into the next fight, you know that I am a fan of sometimes the three-person booth is a little overkill. Clearly, you had Dan Hardy, who's one of the best. John Gooden, who's fantastic, by the way. And I thought it was a little odd
absolutely.
Having two Brits that do a good job, especially on the breakdowns. I mean, they do an excellent job on their breakdowns. And then having, no offense to Paul Felder, I just didn't think he fit in that group. What say you about that? Because I was a little thrown off by...
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. At first, when I was hearing all three, it was kind of throwing me off. Because as you said, Gooden and Hardy work so well together. And of course, I've touted them on previous shows big time. And of course, that's why I had John on the show, because I appreciate what he does and what he had done in his so-called amateur career, like away from the UFC. To be honest, other than the Ozdemir fight, I didn't have a problem with the three-man crew. I thought that everybody on the crew was being patient. We know that John Gooden has worked in a three-man booth before. I thought the most impressive part was that Dan Hardy was actually allowing Paul Felder to get his 2 cents worth in. And then, of course, Gooden would, you know, recap everything and get everything started again, add his 2 cents. And I thought with those three guys, they worked well together, because, you know, Felder's a fighter, a current fighter. Hardy is a former fighter that has, you know, had championship fights in the past against GSP. And then Gooden being the consummate professional that he is. And I do believe that, you know, maybe adding that American voice to the crowd or to the booth, DJ Tony, may help this group, or Dan and John, kind of get into the atmosphere of the American audience a little bit easier.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't think about that at all. Let's go into let's keep the pace going on this one, Proteus, because we wanted to keep it well under an hour. Let's get into light heavyweight fight, to the light heavyweight division we go. And we'll glance over some of this stuff. Bantamweight, Nathaniel Wood defeats Jose Quinones. Shout out to Nathaniel Wood, that looked really good. Welterweight, like you said, you know, the tradition is at least in London. Claudio Silva defeated Danny Roberts via a phantom verbal tap. That was strange. Jack Marshman defeated John Phillips. Arnold Allen looking good over Jordan Rinaldi. Mark Viacasey defeating everybody loves Joseph Duffy. And the list goes on. I don't want to go too long on this, because I really do want to focus on Dominic Reyes defeating Volkan Ozdemir. I said somebody's O had a go, right? Meaning Dominic Reyes, because I did the MMA map, which never works, by the way. And clearly, he did it again, although split decision, frankly, Proteus, I didn't see it going that way, although I'm a Dominic Reyes fan. I didn't see it going that way. allegedly Dominic Reyes's corner went over to the Ozdemir corner before the fight was announced, meaning before the decision was announced, and they were basically saying, hey, congrats. So what say you, Proteus? How did you see it? Volkan Ozdemir defeated by Dominic Reyes.
Yeah, I again, as I mentioned in the last fight, I had to turn the commentary off of this fight because it was so pro-Volkan Ozdemir, especially going into the second round. halfway through the second round, I had to turn it off. I really did, and I had to focus on what was actually happening in the fight. Yeah, Volkan Ozdemir was moving forward until the third round when Dominic Reyes really started taking it to him. Volkan Ozdemir, you know, was trying to, you know, fake the takedown and then go upstairs. Dominic Reyes moving out of the way of that. Yeah, I'm not saying that this particular fight was easy for Dominic Reyes to win, but I did see this going all three rounds for Dominic Reyes. I'm going to be honest with you. Volkan had some success in the first, but Reyes really being able to move around and kind of keep Volkan where he needed him to be. Throw his shots. Yes, they went back and forth a little bit with the leg kicks. I thought Reyes, again, had the better of those exchanges with Ozdemir. You saw that lead leg getting chewed up by Reyes, and that really affecting how the ability of Volkan to really throw heavy leather. But we didn't see Reyes slowing down at all. I thought as the fight went on, we really saw Reyes kind of picking it up, you know, picking his spots, getting that jab in, moving around. Maybe getting the right hook in as on the exit, and then of course when things were in tight, he was able to use the superior wrestling skills that I believe he has. Even though we're crediting Dominic Reyes with only a high school wrestling pedicure in the UFC, but I think that when you get to this level in the UFC, that your wrestling game, even if you have wrestling in the past, then that's something that you can take and really run with and excel in the UFC. And I thought, great win for Dominic Reyes. I had it going for him, as I said, all three rounds, especially the third, and even in the second, I had it going for Reyes as well.
Interesting that you say that, because I didn't see that. That's the first time I saw Dominic Reyes actually going backwards and not forwards. Honestly thought Ozdemir had broken his nose again. I was swayed by the commentary quite a bit, to be frank. So I was relying on that quite a bit. Listen, Dominic Reyes, I think we all on the show have espoused on his behalf, at least in some ways or another, touting him as a talent that could move up, certainly maybe challenge John Jones, and that's a tall order. There's no doubt about it. But he is 5-0 in the UFC, Proteus, beating Hokim Christensen, beating Jeremy Kimball. Not impressive there, but you know what? KO'd the first two. TKO'd Jared Cannonier, who's no joke. Beat OSP, who's up-down, to say the least, in a unanimous decision. Split decision on this one. Do you at least agree that that was a split decision, or do you think that was a unanimous decision?
Well, I think you could give, if you really wanted to, you could give Volkan the first round. And, you know, he looked, I'll give you this, he looked marginally more impressive in the second round, you know, kind of getting Reyes against the cage and trying to impose his will and trying to get Reyes tired. But to be honest with you, if I'm looking at it from my point of view, my eyes, I thought Dominic Reyes did a great job in that fight. And I mean, you could go split decision if you want, make things a little bit more interesting. But over the whole course of the fight, I thought Dominic Reyes did a better job than Volkan Ozdemir. And Ozdemir is supposed to be the big star. So congrats to Dominic Reyes.
So let me ask you this, Proteus, and we forgot to do this, what's next for Masvidal. We certainly went slightly into what's next for Edwards. But let's talk about what's next for Dominic Reyes. I was hesitant to post on Twitter and Instagram on whether Dominic Reyes is ready for John Jones, because frankly, I don't think anyone's going to beat John Jones but John Jones, right, his own demons. And I've said that, we've said that on the show plenty of times. But let me ask you this. Is Dominic Reyes ready for for John Jones?
No, of course he's not ready for John Jones at all. I think it's going to be exciting for Dominic Reyes to get into, you know, the top 10, maybe even the top 5. I think if you're the UFC, you take Dominic Reyes and you put him in some challenging fights to get him ready for a guy like John Jones. Again, this is why I call for the Luke Rockholds and of the world and the Chris Wyvens of the world to move up a weight division, because those two fights I would have loved to see against John Jones. Of course, DeSantos, I believe, should be next if we're going meritocracy speaking. And that's going to be an interesting fight for John Jones as well because of that big power. And, of course, as I mentioned on previous shows, you know, the low kicks of Dos Santos could be challenging for John Jones. I think you slow play Reyes for a bit. He's at least, you know, 2, 3, maybe even 4 away from John Jones if I'm living in a perfect world.
So let me ask you this a little bit more. Let's expound on this just a bit. I'm looking at the light heavyweight division.
Yeah.
You have some future stars, possibly. Johnny Walker,
yeah.
Dominic Reyes. And there's a few, like Thiago Santos, maybe not a future star, but certainly has done well moving up. Let me ask you this. Of Johnny Walker, if Johnny Walker and Dominic Reyes was to fight, let's just say Anthony Smith, and we're fans of Anthony Smith. We're biased for Anthony Smith. But if Johnny Walker and Dominic Reyes were to fight Anthony Smith, who wins?
I think if you take Johnny Walker and you put him against Anthony Smith, he gets the floor. Anthony Smith wipes the floor with him. I think if you put Dominic Reyes against Anthony Smith, we got a good fight. I mean, if that's kind of something you want to look at next, or maybe in two fights for Dominic Reyes, I'd be down with that, because I think Dominic Reyes has that advantage of size against Smith. And of course, as we saw in this particular fight, you know, maybe a little bit of a smarter, tighter fighter, just like Smith is, you know, with the boxing and the kicking. And of course, you know, Reyes having a bit of the wrestling advantage, I think, over Smith. I would, right now, as much as I love Smith, I would put my money on Reyes again, as I did in this particular fight. And I went against you in this particular fight, and I gave myself a point to you, Tony. I gave myself a point for taking Reyes, just so you know.
And believe me, you deserve that little point. Yeah, you did well in that one. All right, so let's go to the up-down report. So
sure.
Bonus awards awarded. Fight of the night goes to Jorge Masvidal versus Darren Till. We'll get into the Masvidal and what the repercussions should be, because he did throw a punch, right? Performance of the night, Jorge Masvidal and Dan Ige. Dan Ige actually looking really spectacular of late, defeating Danny Henry. Let's talk about this, Proteus. Up-down report. Who moves up? Who moves down?
Do we want to just cover the top 3 fights, or do you want me to go further on that?
Anyone that you think that really looks spectacular that you could see charging up the UFC rankings for whatever they're worth, right?
Right,
or anybody
right,
else's
right.
ranking.
Okay, so let me give you some ups. I'm going to take Jorge Masvidal, especially DJ Tony, because of the spot that they were in, even with the controversy of whatever happened afterwards. Again, I want to draw the MMA fans' memory back to when Conor McGregor invaded MSG. He cost the UFC multiple fights on that particular card, and I mean, we got a slap on the wrist there. I don't think that you can have these kinds of things happen, especially, I mean, we look at what Nurmi did. That was in Nevada. He jumped out of the cage and attacked somebody. Yes, he got, 6 months and a big fine. Look, this was after the fact. It was in the back. Unfortunately, it got caught on camera. That's where Jorge kind of has a problem and kind of has, I mean, an advantage as well, because maybe that gets him more fans. I mean, let's be honest, Tony. I'm not a fan of this particular stuff happening, but, you know, and apparently neither is Jorge, but he's ready to throw down if he needs to throw down. Also up in my mind, Dominic Reyes, this guy's got to be moving up in your mind, because, Vulcan was at the top of the division. Maybe he's not looked so great as of late, but Dominic Reyes has. He's been looking really good. I think the stock is a lot lower on Leon Edwards, even though that's my down report, DJ Tony. My down report on this one is Leon Edwards. Not only did he run his mouth against Jorge Masvidal and get owned, but he looked good for two rounds, and then Gunnar Nelson was taking over that fight. So in my opinion, DJ Tony, even in the win, Leon Edwards moves down.
So let me give you this. So just looking at the welterweight division, right? You got champion Kamaru Usman, who's legit, followed by Tyron Woodley. I hope he's not, you know, age catches up to everyone. I hope that's not the case, but could have been, right? Colby Covington ranked two, followed by Till, Thompson, Dos Anjos, Askren. Askren actually moved up incredibly high for one fight. Ponzinibbio, we don't know what's going on there. Javi Lawler, Damian Maia, who's, heck, getting closer to my age. Leon Edwards, Jorge Masvidal at 11. That certainly looks, that's going to change a little. Not sure how much that's going to change. By the way, Gunny Nelson at 13 behind Neil Magny and Eliseo Dos Santos, who has looked spectacular of late. Going into, of course, let's get into the light heavyweight division because we are talking Dominic Reyes and Johnny Walker. Cormier, believe it or not, ranked one. We know Bones Jones, of course, the champ. Gustafson, who's already fought Jones twice, at two. Thiago Santos made a huge leap. Anthony Smith dropping a four. Jan Błachowicz, Volkan Ozdemir, who takes another loss. He's 3-3 in the UFC. Corey Anderson, Dominic Reyes, Lir Latifi, Jimmy Manua, Glover Teixeira, OSP, Johnny Walker. That needs to change, my friend. I don't know what's going to happen there, but certainly something needs to change there. Up-down report on my eyes, got to give it up to Jorge Masvidal. Also going to give the down report to Jorge Masvidal because repercussions must happen. Something's going to happen. I doubt that the ESPN, that the UFC and ESPN would just let it slide. It doesn't look good, especially allegedly in a larger audience, allegedly because we don't have those numbers. So I give up-down report both up to Jorge Masvidal and down. Got to give a huge props like you gave to Dominic Reyes, up report. Daniel Wood, up report. Down report on this one, Proteus, Joseph Duffy. I think everyone likes Joseph Duffy. Not sure what's going on with his career. Hasn't looked good of late. What say you about Joseph Duffy? Because we know famously Joseph Duffy was, I think, gave Conor McGregor his first loss. I could be wrong, but certainly was the last man to defeat McGregor before, of course, losing to Diaz and, of course, losing to Nurmi. What say you on Joseph Duffy?
I think you have to give it to DeCasey, though, right? Like getting the tough journeyman of Duffy out of there. I mean, they didn't feed DeCasey Duffy because they wanted to give DeCasey an easy fight. Of course, we know that, you know, DeCasey's not looking great over the past couple of fights, but you give him a tough dude in the Joseph Duffy, and he goes out there and gets the decision. Up report for me for Mark Casey. What about Joe Duffy? I mean, dude, when you're in this sport for a long period of time, the fighters are going to catch up to you. As tough as you are, you know, as good as your chin might be, as good of a an elusive fighter or a fighter that can take advantage of someone else's mistake, it's going to catch up to you at some point. The youth is going to come up. I love Joe Duffy. I mean, we've talked about him a number of times on this show in the past, and he's kind of one of these guys that you just expect to, fade away and never have the fact of a championship status, but tough as nails and one of those guys that you always want to watch, kind of like a Cowboy Cerrone.
So let me ask you this, Proteus. I mean, clearly, yes, Mark Diakasi, which we thought was extremely talented, going 12-0 before losing. Actually, he won his first three UFC fights, lost his next three, lost three straight to Dakar Close, Dan Hooker, Nasrat Haqparast. I can never get his name right, Proteus. I'll tell you that right now. He was on the verge of getting cut. Now, is Joseph Duffy on the verge of getting cut?
I think that's the kind of guy you want to keep around, you know, and until Duffy wants to stop doing it, I think that's the guy you want to keep around. Again, like I just said, you know, the Casey was able to get the win, but he got the win by decision against a really, really tough guy who brings it every single time. You want those, put those young guys up against the Wolves. That's the kind of guy you want to put them up against. So I say Duffy has a contract in the UFC until he doesn't want it anymore. But that's just me, probably.
I think that's fair because he's very well liked and certainly has a little bit of pedigree,
yeah.
Beating, of course, McGregor. Let's get into a little bit of the future. So let's go into the news, which we haven't done in quite some time. But I want to get into this. A couple of fight announcements were announced. One, I was a little taken aback, to be frank. But Rose Namajunas, of course, well reported, she will fight Jessica Andrade. At UFC 237, May 11th, so we still have a ways to go. This will be in Brazil, so yeah. A little worried about Rose Namajunas there. And, of course, Jessica Eye gets the nod. And you know I'm a huge Jessica Eye fan, but, gosh, she gets a title fight against – now I'm losing my mind here, Proteus – Valentina Shevchenko. I keep thinking Antonina,
yeah.
Valentina Shevchenko. There's no doubt about it. Listen, Jessica Eye, Proteus, went effectively 1-5. Lost to Alexis Davis, mind you, in the bantamweight division because that's all they had. Beat Leslie Smith, where poor Leslie Smith's ear was about to fall off. Lost to Misha Tate. Lost to Juliana Pena. Lost to Sarah McMahon. Lost to Betch Kohea. I'm sorry, but that's Betch has become a little bit of a gatekeeper. Then three straight wins, decision wins. Keep in mind, most of these decisions, except for TK over Leslie Smith, right? Beat Kalindra Faria, split decision. Beat Jessica Rose Clark. By the way, shout out to Jessica Rose Clark on the IG. Good Lord. And then split decision victory over Caitlin Shagagian. Not sure that's the case. Are you on board with Jessica Eye fighting Valentina Shevchenko?
Well, I'm as on board as the UFC is. I mean, we got to throw somebody at Shevchenko in this division, right? I mean, again, it's just throwing bodies in front of someone we think is going to continue to win for the next, you know, foreseeable future. I think Shevchenko is a much better fighter than I. Maybe not as well-rounded in the wrestling game, but I don't think that I has a chance here, to be honest with you. If we're going to do Smack My Picks up on this show, I just don't think she has a chance. But you got to keep this division rolling, Tony.
Curious to see one last thing before we're out of here. I'm just curious to see. So some of the two classiest fighters in the women's division, let alone in the women's flyweight division, in my opinion, Roxanne Modafferi, and I don't know if you saw this post, but I just posted it up. Talking a little bit of smack to Antonina Shevchenko, Antonina Shevchenko going back a bit at Roxy, saying they're going to knock, that she's going to put her to sleep and then have tea with friends. I'm not sure how I feel about this trash talk, Proteus, because I don't know if they just want to get a little amped on this fight. No pun intended, by the way, pun intended, or what it is. But I'm not sure that this is the kind of, again, going back to the whole Jorge Masvidal and just trash talking and then, you know, the sport becoming a little circusy. I'm not sure anyone wants to see that kind of trash talk. What say you about that? Did you even see that at all?
Yeah, I saw the repost that you did on the IG, on the AMP Radio Instagram. And look, listen, I think that like we've been saying, if you want to get noticed, you want to get some talk on ESPN, and Roxy has always been the kind of person that's going to, you know, dress up, whether it be at weigh-ins or whatever, kind of to get your goat. But now she can't do that at weigh-ins. So now this is the kind of stuff that we need to see, because they can't be themselves. The fighters cannot show personality. They're all fit into this Reebok box. I don't know if it went too far, Tony. I don't like to see this kind of stuff, but if you want to get noticed and you're kind of a person like Roxy, who's you know, never didn't win the Ultimate Fighter, got a chance against to be the champ, and then, you know, just kind of falling short. You gotta not only do people love you, but you gotta take it to the next level so that the casual fans have something to attach to as well. So it's promotion, and I don't know how, you know, where it steps over the line and where it doesn't.
As we close the show, what do you have for either Twitter follow of the second part of the week or an IG follow of the week?
Well, Tony, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts lately, and I've been really intrigued by the Neil deGrasse Tyson Science Talk. Go and check it out. It's not always hosted by Neil deGrasse Tyson, but he is on there quite often. And, you know, it's good to hear much smarter people speak about things that are going on in the world and how the world works in order to expand your horizon. So I do recommend that 100%. I think Neil deGrasse Tyson is, along with Elon Musk, one of the two smartest people that I've heard speak in the last little while.
Listen, and I want to give a shout out to Michael Bisping. He will go into the UFC Hall of Fame, Proteus. They made a big deal out of it, and I think rightly so, because I think he was a Hall of Famer even before he won the belt. Let's quickly get into that, because I forgot. Michael Bisping, of course, at Mike Bisping in the IG, and of course, at Bisping on Twitter. So that will be my Twitter follow of the week. Shout out to him. But let's get into this, Proteus, quickly. UFC Hall of Famer, what say you when you think of, what do you remember the most when you think of Michael Bisping? Because I remember him KOing Luke Rockhold and then being intoxicated. What do you remember about Michael Bisping's career?
Well, I'm going to bring it all the way back to the beginning. I remember him being on The Ultimate Fan of him at first, and then allowing Michael Bisping to make me not a fan. And I think that's kind of one of the things that Michael Bisping was so great at. You know, you either wanted to watch him to see him win, or you wanted to watch him to see him lose. He was great at running his mouth. He was great at, you know, cutting a promo, and he needed to see the guy across the ring or the octagon from him as his enemy, even in fight week promotion. That was something that he needed to have in order to unleash what he needed to unleash to either get the win or you know, to sometimes fall by the wayside. You know, in the big fights, he did falter, and then he got that chance, as you mentioned, against Luke Rockhold, and succeeded, knocked him out. But again, I do want to stress that congratulations to him. He was, besides Dan Hardy, and of course he did take the responsibility for the UK off of Dan Hardy's hands when Dan Hardy could not fight, and he became the face of UK MMA, and I think you cannot underestimate what he has meant to the UK for the development of MMA. Yes, he took his talent to Los Angeles, but his what he did in that country cannot be undermined. And yes, I knew he was going to be in the Hall of Fame. It's great to put him in the Hall of Fame right now, because you know why? He's on ESPN, he's a commentator, and he's on that desk, so why not make big up him right now? It's good for business, you know what I'm saying?
Totally agree, and here, I mean, you couldn't have said it better. Proteus, let's get out of here, but before we leave, I want to give a quick shout out to Eric Del Fierro, who put up a post. It's a Captain Jack Sparrow quote, but it actually kind of, I thought, was apropos. The problem is not the problem. The problem is our attitude about the problem. So shout out to Eric Del Fierro there, Proteus, not to get deep. Proteus, and let's get out of here.
Love it.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.